This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
You're on Joy 94.9. A big thank you to Stand Up Straight. And Beck, stay right where you are because you're continuing.
I know. I'm the Stand Up Straight drag that won't go away.
With Family Matters on right now with myself, Adrian, Beck, of course, your lovely self. And we've got Dave.
I'm back, everyone.
Back off the bench, Dave. Served your suspension well.
Oh, more football talk. This place has been footballed out for the past.
No such thing,
hey?
You used the term a few weeks ago that Joy has butched up in the last couple of years since you've been gone.
Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was holding the place back from achieving its, you know, its inner sporting. I don't even know where I'm
Nothing
going
Nothing like
that.
A straight girl to butch it up for you, really, is it?
We've got a great show today. I'm very excited. If you are... If you're a gay guy looking to figure out how to have kids,
that's me.
Oh, hello.
Oh, Dave's up and about.
If you're a mother with a gay child figuring out how to become a grandmother, today's the time to listen into the show. We've got Rodney Chang Cruz, who is I don't want to offend him by saying how many years he's been on the scene, but he'll be coming in. He knows everything there is to know about how two men go about having a child, and so we'll be talking about that on the show today, which is very exciting. You know a bit about it too, don't you, Beck?
A little bit.
Yeah. What's your background?
Well, I work in family law, so that old chestnut.
Yeah, very
but
good.
But I think there's lots of things I want to learn that I don't talk about at work. I've got a lot of questions.
So if you've got questions, we would love to hear what you would like to know. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. And while you're getting your social media going, you might as well check out our Facebook page, which is Family Matters on Joy. Just search for that. Or even Twitter, Family Matters 94. Why is there a 94 in our Twitter handle?
Joy 94.9.
Oh, 94, of course.
I guess.
And we thought that was the year you were born, Dave.
And thank you to everybody out there. We've been getting heaps of love on the social media, on the lot of likes, a lot of favourites, a lot of retweets, a lot of shares. So,
they're all good things, Dave.
Of course.
That's what young people do. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. That's what we all do.
So we'll be right back. We want to talk a bit about Book Week.
Yes.
Right after this, you're on Joy 94.9, Family Matters.
Life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Now, Beck, we know that you've got a lot of issues, and we know that that's natural.
I was wondering where this is leading.
But you've got one issue in particular. What is it, Beck?
This week I've got a massive issue.
Oh, no.
So I like the Facebook, okay? Is that what the kids call it? The Facebook?
These days.
So all of my Facebook this week, because, you know, all my friends have kids, much to my mother's chagrin, I do not. But anyway, that's another story for another time. They're all on about Book Week, and Book Week is hard, and you have to find a costume, and this person's got this costume, and the kid wants this costume, and I don't understand.
Yeah.
Help me, Dad.
Book Week is for me part of a bigger running theme around the many things that childcare just impose upon my life and make it hard. So love books. Books have done wonderful
things.
We're
fine with books. Books tick.
But I got an email on Monday night, and it said, just reminding all the parents out there, this is from the childcare, that tomorrow's the start of Book Week, and bring your children dressed up as their favourite book character.
What?
Oh, like, wow.
I don't think I got an email. I don't think I got a memo on
it's
that.
It's not a reminder.
So I rang Ralph and I'm like, Ralph, it's true. It's Book Week. Have you organized something? And he said, I didn't know it was Book Week. What do you mean it's Book Week? So Monday night, we needed to figure out what to do for Book Week.
Do you actually...
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Well, what would you do? You've got to go to, you've got to go tomorrow to school, book week. Yep. You've got a couple of hours. You've got to feed the kids, put them to bed. You've got to wash the dishes.
This is stressful.
You've I'm
got
tired
to
already.
Clean the house, put the washing on for the next day. Then you're going to have to, you know, what are you
okay,
gonna
do? Okay, so I have two thoughts. The first one is, do parents really go, oh, what is your favourite book? Let's be that character. Or do they walk around and go, oh, we've got a sheet and I know there's a book with a ghost.
Yes.
Is that more
really? Maybe Casper.
Yeah, Casper. Yeah. Or like, there's a dressing gown, you're a wise man from Jesus or something. Like,
hey, I didn't think of that one.
I think an easy one's Harry Potter. There's a little bat cape, little lightning bolt on the forehead.
Only you and 80% of parents in Melbourne have thought of that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we didn't know what to do. And so Tom and Alice, only five, and, you know, they weren't really sure what to do. So we did exactly what you said. We went to a box that we've got full of, like, random costumes.
Made it work.
And I said, Tom, do you want it? And Tom's got a green onesie that's like a dragon. And I said, Tom, do you want to go as that dragon in that book?
You know, that book.
That you love. It's about how that girl sees a dragon in the museum. Yeah, do you want to go as that? And he said, oh, my God, I'd love to. And I'm like, oh, winning.
You're like, tick. Yeah.
And then Alice, do you want to go as Wonder Woman? And she said,
From the novel adaptation of Wonder Woman.
That's right.
I tell you though, Alice makes a mean Wonder Woman. She's not
like
messing
that.
Around.
So girl power.
Yeah. So she went as Wonder Woman and they found $1 million and they thought it was wonderful. And we went to childcare. All the boys were dressed as Spider-Man and all the girls were dressed as Elsa. So it's really just dress-ups day.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. Although I imagine there's some like super parents that do competitive parenting, isn't there? And they're like, right, well, my child's been reading Charles Dickens and here is my hand-sewn Oliver costume and the bowl I made in...
I was very pleased that all the other parents lowered the bar. I almost wanted to text Spencer's mum and Spencer. Yeah, and Lila's mum and say, could you just lower, you know, and just complain? Oh, we've got nothing. Can you make sure you bring nothing as well? But anyway.
Yeah.
But this is another ongoing problems. The other thing that childcare do, and I would, you know, maybe topic for another time, but Beck, you do not understand how much crap that my children make in crafts at childcare. And I love my children dearly, but could you, honestly.
Cut the crap.
I do not need this level of useless cardboard in my house.
Is there anything practical that they bring home?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. They think it's practical. They glued some leaf on a tissue box and, you know, they're expecting me to hold it up as like art and I just can't and I don't.
Honesty box, Adrian. Mm. Do you just chuck it in the bin?
Oh, I've got a whole process. No, you can't chuck in the bin.
Why?
Well, but Alice might have a heart attack if she figures out you've thrown in the bin her like beloved
spaghetti on paper.
Spaghetti on
2016.
Paper. Yeah. Thomas has sketched with tracing paper 20 Pokemon on one like A3 piece. But
that makes it easier to find them, I guess.
So what we do, got a whole process. We've got the purgatory box. So we've got this whole box that's hidden up high in the laundry and everything goes in that box. And if Alice says, hey, where's that sheep I made out of cotton wool? I can say, oh, I've got it, Alice. Just go to your bedroom and it's in the other. So she doesn't know there's a purgatory box. Bring out the whatever it is and that's fine. But when that box gets full, it's got like no bottom. I just kind of lift it up. I take all the stuff that's in the bottom that they've forgotten about over the past month, straight in the bin. So it's kind of that in-between
stage. We need like another coloured coat. You know, we've got the red bin, the yellow bin. We need like another coloured bin just for all the trash and toys that you've been throwing out.
That's right. These are the important hot tips that parents all over Melbourne have been looking for.
Dave and I are learning so much.
If you'd like to learn about how to have children via surrogacy, we have got Rod and Chan Cruz coming up right after this, who knows really every law there is to know in the book and every position that you might need with
there
regards to surrogacy. Coming right at this, would love to hear your questions. You're on Joy 94.9 Family Matters with Beck, Adrian and Dave.
We're totally bent for your listening pleasure. Joy 94.9.
Oh, you've got to love a good live read, Adrian. Do you want to have another crack at that or not?
Sorry.
I think next time I'll do the live read.
Yeah, maybe that's right. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9, and this is the time where we just sort of groove into our interview.
That's right.
Groove in?
Yeah. We'd like to welcome Rodney Chan Cruz. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Rodney, you have a you have quite a long list of what's the word I'm looking for? Expertise. Children. Yeah. You've done a few things. So first thing is you're the convener of Gay Dads Australia.
Yeah, convener of Gay Dads Australia and Gay Dads Through Surrogacy. And that started about 10 years ago. Wow. About the same time Jeff, my partner, and I decided to have a child via surrogacy. So yes. We have Ethan, who's nearly 10. And we also have two other children, two younger boys, Justin, who's 8, and Aki, who's 6. And we have them with a co-parenting relationship with a lesbian couple.
Amazing.
Wow.
And you're probably, whenever anyone asks me about, hey, I've got questions about how to have kids, you're the go-to guy. You must get a lot of people come to you and ask questions in any given week.
Yes.
The gay dad guru.
Well, we get lots.
That's a good one.
I don't like
that. That's going to stick.
You should put that in your business card.
Well, look, we do get lots of people contacting us every week, mainly gay men and couples, but sometimes we get single men, sometimes we get single women as well. And surprisingly, we get a lot of grandmothers contacting us asking for their children.
That's right.
Is that Dave's mum? Has she been calling you again?
She has. Yes, of course.
And they obviously are Googling, they come across Gay Dads Australia and they read some of the website and they want to know, my son's just come out, can he have a child? And I said, well, yes, he can. Probably not right now, but, you know, he can. So
he's probably too young.
He's probably too young. How old is he? Oh, he's 12.
Yeah, probably not.
But it's really about just networking and sharing information and giving guys the opportunity to ask the 101 questions that lead to the next 101 questions. As you know, having done surrogacy yourself, it's not this straightforward process that...
So give us it from the top. The first question I've got to kick this off is, what are the options available to a couple of gay guys living in Australia if they're looking to have kids? What are the obvious options?
The obvious options is that you steal one. you want legal ones.
Okay. Legal, sorry.
And we don't condone child abduction here on Do Not.
Yes.
The obvious ones
it's
are...
It's frowned upon.
The obvious ones, well, you a lot of... the biggest group are straight or gay guys who have had relationships with heterosexual relationships and have kids from that. So they often continue to parent once they've come out. Foster care is another one. Although it doesn't make you a permanent parent, but it is a very rewarding way to parent children.
And I think we'll be talking about some of these in the coming weeks, including fostering in particular. Yeah.
But the main way, or the main two ways that gay men become parents, the first one is via co-parenting, usually with a lesbian couple or a single woman, and surrogacy.
So co-parenting with a lesbian couple, I understand that one. So there's going to be lots of moments in this show where I'm going to be like trying to have all the
things.
Do the maths.
I've got a mind map happening at the moment.
Yes.
Trying to figure it all out.
I get that. And so surrogacy. So let's talk about, so we've narrowed it down. Okay. So I don't know a lesbian. So I'm, you know, we're not going down the foster path and, you know, adoption is
Soon to be adoption will be available on the 1st of September, but the answer will still be no.
Well, and because?
There's no children to adopt.
Mm. Right. Well, that was convenient. They changed the laws. Yeah. Great.
Straight people have the same problem. They can't adopt because there's no children.
Okay. So I don't know a lesbian couple who, and actually I don't want a co-parent.
Want to be full-time parent.
Full-time parent. So you're kind of in the, surrogacy. So from a surrogacy perspective, how does that work?
You've got two options.
Yeah.
You can do surrogacy in Victoria, New South Wales or Queensland, but we'll just talk about Victoria if you like. Altruistic surrogacy. Or you can go overseas and do commercial surrogacy. Currently, the only places that you can do that are Canada and the US.
Are they? I'm hearing Cambodia.
People are trying it in Cambodia, but it's not recommended and it's likely to be shut down very soon.
Is it in Cambodia?
Yeah.
Right.
You follow the path.
By the way of India and
Mexico.
Thailand.
And Nepal.
Mexico shut down?
Yes. And Nepal's shut down.
Nepal shut down?
Yeah. India shut down again, even more today, actually. They just approved a bill to go to Parliament to actually deliberately cut out gay men and single people.
So Canada, has that always been an option?
It's been an option for probably 15, 20 years. But it's not the tradition. Well, it's not like the US, which is commercial surrogacy, would be the best description of that. Canada's more your compensated surrogacy. The woman still gets paid an amount of money, but it's within an expectation of what they would be anticipated to be compensated for, which is around about $30,000.
This is in Canada?
Yeah.
And do you think those other countries kind of shutting down has really limited the options for gay men? Because I understand financially America's a hell of a lot more expensive than those other countries were.
Yeah, look, it has limited the options. Places like India and Nepal and Thailand were significantly cheaper. Mm. But there are a lot of issues with those places which led them to be shut down. There were some great success stories and some great agencies, but there are also some shoddy ones. And that was the bad thing. The shoddy ones were the ones that got it shut down. But it has limited. The options are Australia, where you're looking at around about 60 grand.
But with that 60 grand, what you need is someone who's going to carry a child, right? And an egg donor.
Yes. You need a surrogate and an egg donor, and neither of them can be paid.
Yes. Right, we'll come back to that. Sorry. So about 60 in Australia. Cut you off. Sorry.
Yeah, about 80 to 100 in Canada and about 200 in the US.
But that 200 in the US, is that variable? As in, like, what I mean by that is, are you at risk of that becoming a million? This is all just ridiculous.
Supply and demand.
No, because something goes wrong. Like, what I mean is, you've got a child who's in intensive care, who's born premature, or you've got a, you know.
Well, yes, it could go that high, but if you take appropriate precautions with insurance, it could certainly go higher than 200,000. It all depends on whether you get pregnant quickly, whether you have a singleton, whether you have twins, whether there's any problems with the birth, whole range of factors. But the average is about 200,000. Yeah. Some come on cheaper, some are more expensive.
So that just becomes in a certain stratosphere that's very difficult for everyone to kind of be able to, you know, and even within Australia, 60 is clearly a lot of money.
Yes.
But that 60, so within Australia, if I wanted to do altruistic surrogacy, I need to find an egg donor who will, so that could be my sister.
Yes. Commonly is.
Common. Not my sister.
Not a sister every time.
But a sister.
There you go.
And a surrogate.
Which is often another sister. Mm. Sometimes it's the gay man's mother.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I've never heard that.
It's not that common, but depending on the age of the man and the age of his mother, there's nothing to stop a healthy woman carrying a child with the assistance of medical intervention, but
legally allowed. Actually, yes. I think I saw that story with a straight couple, and the wife's mother carried the child.
Yeah, I saw something recently.
Yeah,
it's
probably more common with straight people, but it's certainly a very common element. Relatives, close best friends, those sort of things are usually the best option for your surrogate and your egg donor.
Yeah,
but they're not always available. Some of us don't have sisters.
Mm. Yeah.
And so
there must be a process. It's highly regulated, I'm sure, and there must be a process. Well, what are the high level kind of steps?
Once you find your people, your surrogate and your egg donor, you pop to a lawyer and start the process, and they'll talk to you about what's involved. They'll start working on the paperwork. You'll then engage one of, I think there's five IVF clinics that are licensed to handle surrogacy in Victoria, and I won't mention their names, but you then go along to them and tee them up, and you start going through the process there, the medical process. There's checks. There's also, at that stage, there's also psychological evaluation. Now, once you've done all those things, the psych evaluation, the legal, the medical, you then have your surrogacy application presented to what's called the panel, which is governed by the legislation, which then basically decides whether you can proceed with your surrogacy arrangement.
Whether you're fit enough to be parents?
No, it doesn't really go to the fit enough to be parents. It's really to say that people meet the statutory requirements, like your surrogate has to be over 25 and have had her own children, those sort of things. It also goes to the fact that they want to be sure that the surrogate has been properly legally briefed and psychologically briefed, so they understand not just the surrogate, but the intended parents, what they're getting themselves into, what are the potential implications. And provided everybody's done all that background work, the agreement gets approved, and then it's just basically IVF and waiting.
We just had a question come through. Does the government, like Medicare, cover any of these expenses, like IVF cycles or?
No.
No.
You might get some medication might be required on
PBS,
but no.
Not generally.
This might be a dumb straight girl question, Rodney, but when a gay couple is entering into surrogacy, is it common for just one of them to use their sperm, or do they both see what swims better, or what's the...
Well, when you're doing surrogacy, you're doing IVF, you don't have to worry who's got the best swimmers as long as they swim.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be done in a test tube. There's no marathon to get through.
That's
so it has to be a joint decision about who's going to do it. And in Australia, they'll only implant the embryo created by a unique set of gametes. So the one man and one woman. So they won't put in twins, one from each.
Yeah.
But you may do it the first time with your sperm and then your partner's sperm the second time.
So it's a decision you got to discuss and kind of agree, you know, what's the best way to kind of do it. And within Australia, how long has the altruistic been available? Because it hasn't always been available,
no,
right?
In Victoria, I think the law came in mid-2010. That codified altruistic surrogacy in Victoria for gay couples, straight couples and single people.
That's great.
Which opens up to another question I've got, which is there's the debate, I suppose, for want of a better word, conversation about legalising commercial surrogacy in Australia. And I'm interested in your perspective on that and whether that would open up options, I guess, for a lot more gay men to have children because it takes out that barrier of having to go overseas.
I think it's a great question. I think it's a really important discussion. If you think about altruistic surrogacy at the moment, it's still $60,000, $70,000 in Victoria to do it. That $60,000, $70,000 goes to everybody except the woman who's doing the work.
How dare they? That's right. There's all this money that goes to everyone except
the IVF
for some
clinic,
reason.
The lawyers, yeah. The courts get it at the end when you go for your parentage order.
And I just love how difficult the process is and how regulated it is. That's a good thing, right? It's a difficult, regulated process for a reason because it enables you to have confidence that there's quality and control and all the right things.
And everybody is fully informed and understands what their role and responsibilities are in the process. I think the argument for commercial or compensated surrogacy is that you still have to be an altruistic person to want to do surrogacy. You're only going to get compensated around $30,000, which is about what you would earn if you worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, it's not going to be an income stream.
No. It's a compensation for the inconvenience, the effort of carrying somebody else's child.
The joy, Rodney.
The joy. It is a joy. But it's not a replacement income.
No.
I mean, people
no.
aren't going to say, well, this is my career. I'm just going to pop babies.
So it's not
going to make money out of it.
Yeah, because I guess initially I thought, well, you know, it's hard to find someone to be your altruistic surrogate and maybe it would open up more options, but it's not like the money's going to be a determining factor.
We're talking to Rodney Chan-Cruz, who's the convener of Gay Dads Australia and Gay Dads Surrogacy, about how two men can have a child. If you're interested in asking us any questions, please do on air at joy.org.au. We are Facebook streaming live. You can send your questions through there as well, and we will be right back after this.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Family Matters on 94.9. We got the president of convener?
He's the convener. Well, I don't know what is a convener?
The gay dad guru.
No, it's the gay dad guru. Rodney, does that work?
For tonight,
he doesn't like it.
No,
he does not like it.
Oh. Okay, let's start again then. So right. No gay dad guru?
Just call me the gay dad.
The gay dad. Capital T-H-E.
You're back with Family Matters. It is the gay dad with Rodney Chan-Cruz.
And the other gay dad, Adrian.
Yeah, Joy Royalty. He goes by in the office.
The younger one.
Just quickly, if you have any questions for Rodney, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. As Adrian said before, it's on air at joy.org.au. So text in, email your questions in.
Now, Beck, you are also involved in family law, and do you get involved in maybe some co-parenting arrangements?
Yeah, actually, I've done a lot of work in that sort of area, and I guess it's really interesting. I've done a lot of work doing donor agreements, I guess, for usually lesbian couples, but you know, often, like you said, Ronnie, two a lesbian couple and a gay couple co-parenting together.
So, what's a donor agreement? Agreement between the guy and the lesbian couple?
Yeah, so they're not legally binding in Australia at the moment. But look, I'm still pro them. I think what they do is they make people go and get legal advice, which is always a good thing. But I think what they really do is they focus people's thoughts on different things that are going to come up as part of the co-parenting arrangement, because I've unfortunately also been involved in a number of cases that have ended up in the family court where these co-parenting arrangements have gone wrong. And I guess this is my side observation, not necessarily as a lawyer, but just as a observer, is that a lot of it there wasn't the discussion. And it always interests me that, you know, as a straight person, you can have too many Bacardi breezes and, you know, make a baby. And there's not that thought process. Whereas, I guess in all cases, when I think the gay people are intending to have a child, there's a lot more forethought and a lot more planning.
They're certainly supposed to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen.
Mm.
When people decide they want to have a baby, there's this phase they go through called baby lust.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking about, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. And it's all going to work. We're best friends, we're best mates, and we trust each other. We've known each other for 10 years. It's all going to work. Once the baby comes.
Oh, the dirty nappies, and you're up at 3 a.m.
Well,
and
it's not even that. It's just.
Sorry.
But if you want to talk about that, Adrian, yeah. You've clearly got some stuff you want to get out.
And the cheap formula.
It's more to do with people's expectation. The focus actually goes from pre-baby. It's all about the adults.
Mm.
And then when the baby comes, everything focuses on the baby. And what Beck would have seen is lots of the disasters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm privileged enough to see a lot of the successes. You don't hear about them because they're successes.
And they don't come and see me.
The successes work because people understand what it is to have a baby, and they may have witnessed it in their own families or with friends, etc. When a baby's born, it's not the situation where the gay man says, oh, well, we want the baby to stay at our place every second week. Because that's not what babies do. Babies eat, sleep, and poop. And that's all they do for the first year, really. They don't. And if you had them over at your place, you were going to be walking around on tiptoes and trying not to wake them. What the best thing is in the first year after a child's born, is that the parents, both sides of the parents, get together at least once a week and have a meal, and learn about each other, learn about each other post-baby and understand what each other's. You've got to build the relationship with the parents first. The children will come. The children will naturally come. Mm. And the children will actually dictate it as they get older. They'll say who they want to spend time with.
So it's almost like this discussion around commercial good or bad, or what you really want to be driving is this understanding of how we're going to raise this child and, you know, how's it going to work? And if you go through maybe a co-parenting arrangement or if you do it through some other means that is actually probably legal, I don't actually know, more legal than commercial surrogacy, you might end up in a worse position because you've not had all those sit-down long conversations and agreements.
Those conversations can be very early on, like, do you share the same religious beliefs, political beliefs? You may not have even ever discussed them with these best friends that you've had for 20 years simply because you just don't talk about those things, but these are things you need to talk about.
Or even one thing I've seen a few times through what I've done is about understanding about your position about medical things. If the, you know, child's unwell before it's born, what's different people's ideas about what you should do then? And all of a sudden it's, you know, people have got very varying with their political or religious beliefs. And the other thing I always find interesting is people often have expectations about how their own family, their parents will be involved, who will be a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle. And
labels become incredibly important.
Yeah,
who's
going to
be dad? Who's going to be daddy? Who's going to be mum, mama? What are the grandparents going to be called?
How are
they going to be integrated into the family?
Love labels.
How do you actually get four sets of grandparents together?
Forceps?
Four sets.
Oh, four sets.
Four sets.
Sorry.
Not like faucets.
We're out of the
faucets.
We're not at the birth anymore.
We're out of the delivery room.
We've got a child, Adrian.
But you've got four. Rather than just having two sets of grandparents together for dinner, you've got four sets. How do you manage that? How do you?
So I've got a question, Rodney. There is no legal advice being given out on this show, clearly, but
no.
I've got a friend. I've heard of someone who is
I've heard of someone.
A friend of a friend of mine.
And they I'm going back on where I should ask this question or not. But can you self inseminate? Does that make sense?
You can self-inseminate if you're doing co-parenting and the lesbian couple, if there is a couple at
which
the time.
Which is often what people do.
So I'm a lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. Some guy puts his thing-me-bobbins in a what's-my-fudget in the other room.
Is that what you're calling gay world?
And then call it dumping
Adrian,
junk.
I've got no idea what you're on about. Can you please explain
that? Can you draw Dave a picture?
We're live streaming.
Does his
thing in his cup.
Bitsy watches in his thingies, and then he puts it in another room, and then the girl was a diseases. And then, so who is the parent in that? Are there parent situations?
This is the best bit.
The, the woman who self-inseminates will be the birth mother.
She's the birth mother.
And if she has a partner at that time who's there and consents to her getting pregnant, she will be the other
mother. The legal parent.
Including if it's a female.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, yes, including, especially if it's a female.
Yeah, which is, I think, one area where, and I guess this is part of biology, the lesbian parents have it easier, quote unquote, in
terms because what if the guy wanted to be the parent? So the guy
He would have to have sex with the lesbian.
Yeah.
What you mean when? No, I don't want to get too graphic because I don't know what the hour is. But do you mean he would need to insert something inside
sex
her that
is
was
fine
not
to say
sex? So he would need to actually have sex as opposed to
then he would be the legal parent.
But if he didn't,
if he does it in a cup.
He doesn't have the status of a parent. He's the donor.
Stop it! You're kidding me. That's not true.
That's true. The only exception.
How is that written into law? Is there a law somewhere that says he needs to stick his sausage?
The only exception to that is if he happens to be that woman's legal domestic partner.
I don't believe it. That is crazy. I am shocked.
Adrian's head's going to explode in a minute.
So you're saying, so what happens if the guy does it in a cup and does that mean that he actually has no rights at all? No rights?
Well, that's where it gets interesting because he's not a legal parent, but he does, donors have a, I guess, status, they could bring an application to the family court as what the Family Law Act calls a person concerned with the care, welfare or development of a child. And that's an unfortunately, well, in my world, an all too common occurrence.
It does occur. I mean, they're also particularly designed for grandparents who look after children in the absence of parents. Yes, but, you know, basically, he isn't a legal parent and he just will probably have to go home with the cup.
No, but he could go home with...
But it depends on the agreement. I mean, some people in that situation, they will be quite involved. Yes. Some people would never see them again. And that impacts on how things
complex
all turn
areas.
Out later. It's very complex.
Complex areas.
It's all about informed consent and discussion.
Amazing. I am learning a huge amount. I am loving this conversation. If you've got any questions, please send them in. We've got Rodney Chang Cruz here, convener of Gay Dads Australia. And also Beck, a family lawyer who knows all about these things. Send them in 0427JOY949. We're Facebook streaming live at Family Matters on Joy, so you can check us out, send your questions in. We'd love to hear from you. Rodney, I want to come back and talk a little bit about Father's Day right after this song.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
We're having a lot of fun here in the studio here on Joy 94.9. It's Family Matters. Everybody's obsessed with their little Facebook Live app that's going on there. We've got Rodney Chang Cruz here, the gay dad from Gay Dads Australia. I've actually got a question. I'm a young, single, gay guy.
Not a dating show, Dad.
Is it? I'm not sure.
Surprise.
Now, we've got Adrian. He's a father of twins over here. I'm nowhere near that at the moment. How do I find a date? That's the first step.
How do you find a date? That's dating advice.
You want to find a date with somebody who wants to have kids.
Yes. More importantly, you're going to need advice on that.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the most important thing is when you go out on a date is you subtly raise the issue that you do want to be a father one day. Maybe not tonight.
I don't know about that. Maybe not tonight. No. Let's not get too crazy. Yeah. I don't want to become a dad.
Yeah. You don't have to say you have to want to become a dad with them. Just say you want to become
first
a dad.
First date talk.
Yeah.
Why not?
What's the subtle hint? What can I just subtly...
Hang on a second.
There's no subtle hint. You just say, I want to be a dad one day.
Is that something that... So I imagine in the straight world, that's quite a normal conversation to have, right?
Not to men.
Beck, you're a whole different world. I wouldn't think about... You're a whole different complex world.
No, but it must. You must have a conversation. At what stage do you have the conversation?
I don't think day one.
No.
Because straight men in their 30s are easily frightened beasts, Adrian.
You're right.
Yeah. They just assume you want to have their babies and then work backwards from there.
You're kind of in... Like within before you're kind of going steady, it's within the opening months. You've kind of had a conversation about it.
And look, the older you get, the quicker the conversation happens.
It's pretty, but you've got to also remember that, you know, with a gay couple, you know, there's nothing going to happen that night or in the next couple of months to produce a baby.
That's true. There's no Bacardi Breezer factor.
No. So, you know, you can have that conversation early.
Do people have that conversation these days?
They do. They do.
What, and like a couple of gay guys go out and, you know, Dave, you've had a Tinder date and they've asked you whether you want to have kids? Not yet. Come
maybe
on.
Maybe they don't ask that. But it comes out and people say, oh, I've got friends who have had kids via surrogacy. Their name's Adrian and Ralph. Ah. And,
what do you think about that?
And you get a feel for whether they think it's a great idea or whether it's not. Then, you know, do I give him a number or not?
Wow. I think there is ways, as you said, of asking without actually asking directly. You can sort of sense some of it. So,
but if you are a young single man who's looking to have a family, Dave is very good looking. You can have a look on Facebook.
Doesn't matter how he looks. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah, but he's good looking too. It helps.
Good genes.
And you can SMS in on 0427JOY949 # find David Dave.
Now, next week is Father's Day. And Rodney, what does Father's Day mean to you? What do you do? Any rituals? How does it work? What does young Ethan need to get up to? What is required of a child of two dads on Father's Day?
Well, he'll make us both a card that we'll put in that box above the laundry like you do.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's double the budget for the
That's true.
What we do, Gay Dads Australia has for the last 12 years held a Father's Day picnic in the botanical gardens. It goes from about 11 till 2. And last year we had about 140 people turn up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And over the years, you know, when we first had it, we all just rocked up with some of us without children, some of us with children. But over the first few years, everybody was in a pram. So the kids didn't actually run around. You just rocked them and sat around and chatted. These days, the kids are a lot bigger and you're just yelling at them to stop breaking the plants in the botanical gardens. But we all get together and it's a great opportunity for guys who are thinking about becoming parents to come and meet other gay men who have done it in a social environment that's relaxed. They can stand around, they can have a drink, they can chat to these people and ask the most awkward, embarrassing questions that you just need to ask.
I think Beck and I should be there then.
Maybe we'll come. Can girls come?
We don't get a lot of girls coming, but we do. We've had some surrogates come along. Mm. We've had some co-parent mums come along. We've had some grandmothers come along.
Yeah. Rodney, it's the it's the number one place where I get to re-meet the community. You know, like I get to see how all the kids have grown and...
There's another reason, and it's actually not for the dads. We don't really care that much about the dads. We do it for the kids. It's an opportunity for kids of, particularly of surrogate families, to get together to see that they're not the only ones.
That's
right. There is a community.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are other families with two gay dads or one gay dad. So they get to see each other. And these kids have, many of them, have grown up with each other. They may only see each other once or twice a year, but they grow up with each other and they understand and they know.
I absolutely love going. And the highlight for me is always as we all stand up on the hill, you know, 50 very attractive looking guys with, you know.
Maybe I will come along.
100 children running around, whatever it is. And the tourists walking past thinking,
what is going on?
Not really sure. We've had a number of people line up for the kids and take photos. Yeah.
And they think it's like performance art or something. An installation.
We do get people coming up and say, oh, it's great to see all the men out with their kids. What happened to all the women?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Somebody said, oh, we ate them.
So if anyone wants to come along, Rodney, what are the details? How do they, if someone wants to come along and, you know,
I
just
want to
catch
come
up
along.
Yeah, what are the details?
You can go to our website, www.gaydadsaustralia.com, but it's going to be 11 o'clock in Botanical Gardens, just past the garden tea house near the lake. You'll see us. There'll be a rainbow flag and there'll be a lot of gay men with children.
Can I ask, with that many dads in one place, is there a lot of fighting over who cooks the barbecue?
No, we don't have a barbecue.
No.
Oh, that's
no,
safe.
No, darling. We bring cupcakes and quiche.
Oh, of course.
And prosciutto and
kale.
grapes.
Canapes.
Rodney, you were an incredible help for me many years ago when Ralph and I went down this journey to have kids. So thank you very much for all the time and the selfless time and effort you put into helping us. And thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for you continue to do it many years later for so many more aspiring parents.
I do it, and I do it purely for selfish reasons because I love seeing gay men who want to be fathers become dads. Mm. And I had a couple sit across in my lounge room on the couch 18 months ago, really excited about becoming dads, and we talked about everything. And then 18 months later, they have had twins.
Oh.
Gorgeous twins. They're a gorgeous couple. They've got gorgeous twins.
Mm.
And I'm following them on Facebook, and I'm seeing these kids grow up, and I'm incredibly excited.
Mm.
And I'm excited for my own son because I know that the more parents out, the gay dads out there, the more acceptance and understanding of different family structures permeates through our community, and it can only be good for our kids.
Mm. You do some of the most, I think, important advocacy work in the community, and thank you very much. If you want to contact Gay Dads Australia, how does someone make contact?
Best thing is just go to our website. There's a form on the front page. Just fill it in, send me an email, and I'll get
What's
back to
address?
You.
What's the address? GayDadsAustralia.com. Wonderful. Rodney Chang-Cruz, thank you for coming in. It has been a pleasure, and I'll see you, on Father's Day. You're with Family Matters with Dave Beck and Adrian. We'll be back right after this.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
Been great listening to all the feedback we're getting on our social media. You are listening to Joy 94.9. It's Family Matters with Adrian Beck and myself, David. Now, Beck, you're looking fantastic tonight, as per usual.
Stop it, Dave.
Oh, Beck.
Cool. Like, is this till 9 o'clock? Is that what we're going to talk about?
We are going to midnight.
Oh, James, stop it.
Beck is looking $1 million.
I think Dave wants to have a baby with me.
Oh, dear.
However.
I know where this is going.
Adrian, what is happening with you? You got this bruise.
Oh, the bruise on my face. I thought you were talking about the blue jumper that I've worn two Thursdays in a row.
That's
a
later on.
I know, how embarrassing.
Good clothes for radio. No one knows.
Yes, I have a bruise developing on my face because my daughter, Alice, jumped when I crouched and she cracked my nose. I think she fractured it.
Oh, crouching Adrian, hidden Alice.
Yes. So they ended up putting her to bed and she, for some reason, she's always crazy at bedtime and I was just getting her into bed and whatever it is. And then I went to lean over and she absolutely leapt off and smacked my face and I hurt her head. So she started crying, but I was also in a lot of pain. And as I was cupping my face, and then I was in the bathroom and then she kind of quieted down and then she kind of walked up behind me and kind of looked around and she was like, Papa, are you okay? And of course, you know, Ralph is he's a nurse. So he was in emergency. And so I rang him and I said, Ralph, what should I do?
No.
And so he asked the doctors.
Call the ambulance. Yeah. It's an emergency.
No, and they said, suck it up. And they said,
put some ice on it.
Yeah, put some ice on it. We ain't going to do anything in an emergency. You need it to, you need the bruising to go down and all the rest of it and then maybe come in. And when you come in, we'll decide whether or not we need to kind of do anything or fix it. But if you need some plastic surgery, now might be the time.
Oh, and so Ralph, what are you going to get done?
Well, Ralph, let me know that. Adrian, if you've been thinking about plastic surgery.
No, don't go
now
there.
Now might
don't
be a good
there.
Time.
No, wrong time slot again, I think.
Ralph, are you trying to tell me something about my nose or is there some problems? But anyway, so this is the problem. I've got a...
So parenting comes with physical danger.
Many.
I thought you were talking about other plastic surgery.
No, it comes with lots of physical danger. It's, I find it very very difficult at times. My back, I have to, at the moment, teaching the children how to not wee in the bed overnight. What's that called with the bed? I've got to lift them. Yeah. I've got to lift them out of the bed every night, walk them to the toilet. They're like 20 kilos each. It's back-breaking work, Beck.
Do they do it in sync if they're twins?
No.
Because, I'm very good at science and biology.
No, because no, we don't. Although Thomas, last night, I took him to the toilet, stood him up, pulled his pants down, and he just weed without being on the toilet because he was fast asleep.
Yeah, I do that quite a lot as well.
Do you? Not fun. It is not fun, and I don't mean to be, you know, taking this to the wrong places, but, you know, this is what you deal with.
These are good things for us to learn, though.
Yeah.
There's difficult. A lot of learning on this show.
It's all about target practice at the end of the day, isn't it?
Serious question. If there's anybody listening who has trained their children not to wet the bed overnight, I honestly need some tips and tricks as to how you do that.
Training makes it sound really serious. Like, they got to run laps of the bed and do 5 push-ups. And
I don't stress them out about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're very relaxed. It's kind of like, yeah, wear the bed, don't wear the bed. What do I care if I have to change the sheets every freaking day and wash?
Yeah, exactly. That's fine, honey. Do you do?
I don't mind. Well, we decided that the smart thing to do, the cost-effective thing to do, would be not to buy them a single bed, but to buy them a double bed because it costs like the same price. Blah blah blah. So, but we have sheets galore. There's like sheets under sheets. There's some of Tom's, then there's Alice's, and they're all over the place. But if anyone has any advice, let us know. So I think that music means we're out.
Oh, we've still got a few more minutes to go, Adrian. You just keep telling stories and we'll just cut the microphone.
Tomorrow
off.
Is Wear It Purple Day.
What's that mean, Beck?
It means you should wear purple.
What's it mean?
What does it mean? What does it mean to you, Dave?
No.
Wear It Purple. If you were listening to Stand Up Straight earlier, Dave, you'd know. But it's a... You weren't. It is a campaign which I understand was started by some young people. What we discovered was there's not a lot of information about where Purple Day was born from. But really, to paraphrase their message, it's about understanding and acceptance of all our rainbow people, especially young people. And
does it mean that Adrian wear a different jumper?
No, no.
Do you have a purple jumper?
I don't. I need to get one.
No, but it's a great cause. And fantastic. I think the great thing about it is that I hope there's young people that can see someone tomorrow and think they're wearing purple, they're with me. Not Adrian, his story is blue jumper.
Awesome. So wear purple tomorrow. One of the first winners of the kids' book prize is Charlotte. And you can check out her picture on Facebook.
Great work.
She drew a picture and it's up there of her family.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yes.
Yep. Wonderful. And she got a prize. Thank you to Rodney, I think, for that prize. Yes. Is that right? Rodney brought in a heap of kids' books.
Rodney's done a whole lot for us.
I tell you.
Also, coming up after is Forget Goldilocks, because it's our favourite Bears with the Woods, talking about the Wranglers, the wrestling club. We're going Butch again, Adrian.
I tell you, it doesn't stop.
This is too much for Adrian.
I know.
Thanks to Machine on the Desk.
Is there a Kylie interview coming up?
None at all.
And we would love to hear what you would love us to talk about. If you're interested in starting a family, raising kids, anything to do with families and family matters, let us know. You can contact us on Facebook on the Family Matters page there or on Twitter. We'll be back next week. You're on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Beck.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.